Please stand for the reading of God's word. Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Our New Testament reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment and a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We are picking back up. It's been a couple weeks, but we're picking back up with our sermon series through Ephesians. And between this week and next week, we'll conclude that sermon series. But we took 2 weeks for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday to preach through different passages. So that's where we are. And would you pray with me as we jump in? Father, we ask that you would open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word. Without you giving light to our eyes, we will take these passages in all the wrong ways and do damage to ourselves and to others. So give us what you want us to receive this morning, we pray. Amen. So I have a quick question. Do you like frogs? Some people are like immediately, yes. Some people immediately, that's good. That's helpful. Here's the important thing. You didn't ask me any context. So there's lots of ways to like or dislike frogs. I mean, the most, you're like, do you like them on the barbecue grill? That's a weird question, but you didn't even ask it. So maybe that's what I was asking. Do you like frogs in your hand on a sunny day standing by a pond? That's right. Sawyer Grace is in on that. I'm in on that. Do you like frogs in your bed?
No.
The context is really, really important, right? The things that surround the thing are important for giving it meaning. The context, what's around it, helps us understand more fully the thing itself. And so when I ask, do you like frogs, the first thing you should ask is where? How? When? Right? That's trying to understand the context. Here's another context. Let's say my youngest daughter is with Marcus Halsey, and I look over and I see Marcus, who loves my daughter so dearly, And he says, no, and he smacks her hand real hard. That's pretty troubling, right? What do I do with that? Okay, we did some training on this. What should you ask? Where? When? How? You should ask the context. If it's like right over there and Marcus has screamed at my daughter and smacked her hand, we're going to have some words. That's an issue. He doesn't need to be disciplining my daughter in public, right? But if she is reaching for the stove and it's turned on, or she's reaching for an iron, or she's putting her, you know, we're having a family bonfire together and she's putting her hand, and he smacks her hand away, I'm saying, thank you, Marcus. The context really determines how we understand what's going on. And in just that way, this passage, we want to understand the context of this passage, not only because it has a very troubling command in it, slaves obey your masters, what you would call like a derailing passage in scripture for people who would say, I can't see the Bible is regressive. I can't trust this. Paul is promoting slavery here. How can we trust the Bible? We need to ask, wait, when? How? What was surrounding this command? Because I think that we will find when your context is love and war, it gives power and purpose to your obedience. When you're surrounded, when the context is love and war, it gives power and purpose to your obedience. So this passage starts out with the command to children, which Leah was very, we should have had like one of those parentheses emphasis added, which is a great interpretive reading. But the passage, Paul directly addresses children. And so what I'm going to do is directly address our children for a large chunk of this sermon. We're going to do like a sermon, a miniature sermon to our children. And then the adults, they get the leftovers, guys, later. Sorry. But we'll address them later, too. So he jumps in. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So this letter would have originally been expected to be read in public, in a setting like this, where people are gathered, and it would have been expected that children are present, and that they are being addressed as members of this church, as members of this spiritual community. And so we're going to do the same today. And I want to address quickly, this is not what I want to spend the most time on, but there is a promise here, and I want to say, like, how do we understand this promise? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Okay, all of us know good kids who have hard lives, right? Some of us have been kids who generally honored our mother and father and obeyed them, but things did not go well with us. How do we understand that? I'm going to do this quickly, and if you got more questions, let's talk about it. Actually, Eric would be better at these questions than I am. He's really good at nuance and stuff. Here's the first way. Here's two things we can take from this promise. It's a proverbial promise. You can understand it that way. So that is that it generally holds true, but it's not something that God is like commanding space and time to make sure this comes true, right? So it's similar to like the Proverbs say, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Well, yeah, that's generally true. That's a good practice, but it's not always true. Sometimes somebody is so angry that your gentle response to them doesn't turn away their wrath. Sometimes they get even more mad. And just like that, sometimes you obey and honor your parents, and things actually don't go well with you all the time. Here's the other way. It is a covenant promise. This was what Barnes, my son, said as we were talking about it yesterday. And I'm going with it because I think he's smart. It means that you will enjoy more fully the benefits of a relationship with God, a forever life, and a remade earth. This covenant, so the short version is, this promise was given in the context of God's establishing a relationship, a special relationship with his people. And the promise is about this special land that he was giving to them, that you'll have a long life in the land. And now Paul is taking that and saying it also applies now. You're going to have a long life in the remade, recreated earth that God is going to give us when Jesus returns. You're going to enjoy that. You're going to get to be part of that even more fully. So, kids, the command is there. The promise is there. It's a good thing. It is good and right for you to obey and honor your parents. But it doesn't mean you can, like, expect candy and unicorns all day, every day, right? That would be a misreading. It's not appropriate. It's not working for us to take it that way. All right, let's move on to other parts of this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So I think that clause is really important, in the Lord. So long as your parents' directions are within the will and the word of God. Okay, let's test this out. We're going to make just like a little homework here, or a little test in the moment. Your parents give you things to obey them in, and they need to be in the Lord. That is in keeping with God's ways, in keeping with what he has said is good and right in his word, okay? So let's try this out. And there's only a few kids in this service, but if you're at home, you can also yell it out. Let's say your parents are asking you to do something, okay? And they say, will you please clean your dishes? Is that something you can do in the Lord that fits in his ways and the things that he loves? Can I get a big nod? You can even yell. You can raise your hand, yes or no. Bonnie says yes. SG, Carolina says yes. Good. Yeah, Kate's going with yes on this one. Excellent. I think you're all right. That's a good one, right? That's a good command from your parents, and that you need to obey and honor them and follow that command. How about this one? That one was clean up your dishes. How about this one? You're at Chick-fil-A after everybody's safe and blah, blah, blah. And you go to the play place and you take off your shoes and you're playing in the play place. And then it's time to go eat. And your parent says, hey, also clean up that kid's shoes and tuck them in my purse because I think we could use those at home. Can I get a nod or a shake? Bonnie's voting emphatically. I don't want to tell her vote. Okay, Kate. All right, we got universal no's. That's good, right? Because that's against God's word. You can't obey in the Lord in that way. That's stealing. That's wrong. You guys are good in this. That's good. Okay, how about this one? Please come inside right now. Yeah, right? That's good. Your parent needs you to obey them. You should come in from playing outside or whatever you're doing. You should come in. That's a good one to obey. You can obey in the Lord. How about this one? Come inside this haunted house right now. Now, that would not be loving to children, to invite them into a haunted house. Right? That's inviting them into danger. Okay, so you guys are getting this. That's good. Now, that part is silly. Here's the very serious part, and I want you children to hear me and to listen. Because God puts that in there for a reason. He says, obey in the Lord. He says, obey. And this is, again, this is in the context of the church, and so this is other adults as well, mostly your parents, but your parents also, we also have other adults around that you are to obey and honor as children. Not all commands that adults give to you are in the Lord. And sometimes you're going to be unsure. That's okay. Children, it is okay to pause and just push pause and say, I'm not sure if I should obey this command from this adult. I'm not sure that this is in the Lord. Two things. I want you to find a trusted adult, if that's an adult you're not sure about. Or even a trusted adult is telling you to do something, I don't know if that's in the Lord. I don't know if that's in keeping with what my God loves. Find another trusted adult. Pastor Eric, and I are always here. Miss Kendra Tingle is employed by our church to take care of our children. She is a trusted adult. There are many others. Parents, to you, two things. So kids, feel free to push pause and find another trusted adult. If you don't have that option in the moment, you can talk to your parents later about that, or another trusted adult later. It is okay if there is a command you're uncomfortable with or you're unsure fits in the Lord. You don't have to obey it right away. Parents, you need to help your kids know who the trusted adults are in their lives when they're not with you. When they go to school, you need to make sure they know which adults are trusted by you. When they go to a sleepover, you need to give them the avenues to obey in the Lord. Okay? You need to prepare them for those moments. And that means you can't send them to places where they're not trusted adults. Secondly, that is very personal for me. And it's our job to protect them and help them carry out these commands of the Lord. Secondly, it's our job as parents to help them know what is in the Lord and what is not. You need to help them be clear about that. We need to train them to recognize pure and good and right, and so that when impurity and misuse come up, alarm bells go off in their heads. If you need resources, there are great books that are so helpful to read with your children about this, about how to be safe around other people, how to make wise choices about who to obey. Come to me, come to Kendra Tingle if you want some resources on those books. It's important to train our children and show them those boundaries of what is in the Lord and what is not. Okay? So the first command is obey your parents in the Lord. Obey in keeping with what the Lord has said, and his word is good and right. All right. And now it also says to honor your parents. Okay, sometimes it's easy to obey, right? And like, yes, okay, huh. So that's obeying, but is that honoring? Give me a nod or a shake on that. Okay, I'll put on my dishes, huh. That is obeying, but it's not honoring. God says that you need to obey with your actions and with your heart. That can be hard. So this is an easy way to remember it. I need to obey all the way, right away, and cheerfully. Sorry, that didn't. But I do. That's the command, is that we need to do it with our attitudes as well as our actions. Is anybody here sneaky? Okay, we got some quick responses to that question. Sneakiness is not honoring our parents, right? When we want to sneak to get our way. Now, I'm a very sneaky person when I think somebody's blocking the things that I want. But my younger brother, when we were growing up, when we were real little, you know, 7, 8, 9, he had the worst tell. He was a sneaky dude like me. But he had this tell, and we called it the happy hop. He kind of walked like that if he was being sneaky and he got his way without telling anybody. So this, like, you'd see him walk by with his mouth kind of. And that meant he had a mouthful of cookie dough that he was not permitted to have taken. And then mom would just, Johnny. And he would get caught every time because he was not honoring his mom and dad. He had the happy hop give on the sneakiness. When we're sneaky, we're going around our parents' commands and their boundaries, and we're not honoring them. We need to obey them children. We need to obey them all the way, right away, and cheerfully. Why is that such a big deal? Doesn't it feel like, come on, I can sneak cookie dough every once in a while, right? I can huff and puff sometimes if I don't want to clean up my room, or if I don't want to go to bed right now, or if I don't want to do the dishes, or I don't want to come in from playing. What's the big deal? If I just do it, but that's not that big a deal, right? Okay, when I ask a question, you're supposed to ask, wait, when, how, what's surrounding it? Because remember, our context for these commands are love and war. That's why we included the passage after these commands where Paul says, remember, you're in a battle. You're in a spiritual war, and it's not always clear right now. See, when you're preparing for battle, every moment matters. You remember last year, about this time when we had those tornadoes? There's a lot of tornadoes here in our town, and a lot of tornadoes also in Nashville, where a lot of my family, right through the neighborhood where a lot of my family lives. And I heard a lot of stories, particularly from them, of families who lost their houses completely, but mere minutes before the tornado ripped through their home, the parents ran into their children's bedroom and said, get up right now, we're going to the basement. You know, when what's surrounding you is extreme and dangerous, obedience matters, right? For those kids to get up right away and go with their parents and in the middle of the night and not know what's going on, but just to trust them and go with them. I had one friend of my brother's whose child's bed was literally gone minutes after they got the kid out of the bed. When what is surrounding you is dangerous, when what is surrounding you is crucial, obedience matters right away. And that's what Paul is reminding us, is that one of the major contexts we see, one of the big contexts of these commands, is that you and I are in a battle, and there is someone who wants to take us down, who wants to hurt you, who wants to hurt your relationship with your parents, who wants to destroy your relationship with God, your Father, who wants to break you. They're important because we're surrounded by war. But we're also surrounded by love. When you're surrounded by love and war, it gives power and purpose to your obedience. Look, the passage right before this is the context. So all these commands started, but right before that, it says to us, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Yes, we're in a war, but even more powerfully, we are loved. We are pulled into a family by Jesus' costly sacrifice. His love cost him his entire life. Let me ask you this. When is it easier to be kind to your sibling? Lots of you guys I'm looking at in here have siblings or maybe cousins that you hang out with a lot, some other person who's close in age to you. When is it easier? You know, sometimes you get quibbly, you start fighting. And let's say your mom comes to you and she says, you need to be nice to your sister. Can't you see how wonderful she is? And she's so loving and kind all the time. Be more like that. Is that like, okay, is that easier to love them? Or right after that same sibling spends all their allowance to get you that perfect little present. Like, here, I got to go to the Handy Andy with Mom, and I got you your favorite candy bar, too, while I was there. Which is it easier to love? When Mom says, can't you be more like them? They love so much. Why can't you be more like that? Or when they actually express love to you. Yeah. It's way easier to be kind to your sibling. And that's what Paul is saying here. Listen, this is not a command that says you need to be more better about being better and kind and loving. He is saying You have been loved. Jesus has loved you. He has given his very life for you. And the second thing he says is, in reverence and devotion to Jesus, in response to him, obey these commands. So these commands come in the context of war. That means they're serious and you need to obey them quickly. But they also, and more importantly, come in the context of love. That the commands come out of a heart of love, that you're accepted, that you're wanted, that you're cherished, even more than your parents, or maybe even more than your grandparents. How about that? When you're surrounded by love and war, kids, it gives power and purpose to your obedience. All right, we got 2 minutes left for parents. Here's the conundrum. I'm going to do this. Parents, we don't get a whole lot to go on. Don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's not a whole lot for a whole life that you're giving to these kids. Further, I want to remind us that this is a passage given to the whole church in the context of the whole church. And so that means adults who are not parents of these kids, these are also your charges to instruct these children, to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. I'm just going to say this. The context that Paul gives us is far more than the commands. Okay? The context, meaning this. I'm skipping like all of this. Meaning this. Ephesians 5:1 that kicks off this section. Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. You got to know that the context of this command, of your parenting, is being parented by your God. It's being parented. Why does that matter? I've got to tell this story. So Henry Light was he wrote hymns. What's that word? He's a hymn writer in the church years and years ago. There's a word for that. I'll get it later. And he had a terrible father. He had a horrible father. His father divorced his first wife, remarried a new wife, sent Henry away to boarding school. And from that point on, Henry's father decided that he didn't want to be father to Henry anymore. And so he would write him letters, but he wouldn't sign them your father. He would sign them your uncle. He pulled that relationship, that status away from Henry. Now, you're thinking, how could this man ever move on from that as a parent? You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? We all kind of like have basically the resources that we were given from our own parents, and we kind of parent how we were parented. And it's actually really hard to break out of that. But Henry wrote so many hymns, and any time he mentions the image of God as Father, it is a warm and powerful image for him. Do you know what that means? That means that God's fathering of him was actually more formative than his own father's abandonment. That means God can reform you as a parent. That means you're not left with just the resources that you of your family of origin. He actually reparents you. And so when Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, it doesn't matter if you weren't that loved. It does matter. It's not formative. It's not determinative. What is determining who you can be as a parent is that you are being parented. Two other major contexts. Right before this, Paul prioritizes marriages and bedding, and he says that is a critical context. He says that before he talks about parenting, because he's saying that a healthy and good and God-fearing marriage is so critical for you being a parent. If Eric preached on that marriage passage on March 21st, if you want to go look up the recording, is excellently helpful. And finally, he is putting this this command to you, this simple short command to you as parents, in the context of being part of the church. So being in, being loved by your God, being in a healthy marriage, and being a vibrant member of the church. That's what being a parent really means, and that's what being a that's where being a parent takes place. That's why there's not tons of commands to you as a parent, because where you parent is much more important than a list of commands. All right. Moving on. I knew it was too long, but I didn't know it was this too long. The slavery passage, you guys, I have this whole like 10 minutes prepared for that, and I'm not going to do it. It is important. Context, I'm going to remind you, context is important. So when you see the command, you should ask, wait, how, where? Slavery in the old world is very different. It's not chattel slavery. It's not racially based. You probably could walk around the streets of Ephesus and not be able to distinguish who is a slave and who is not. Okay, it's still a bad practice. But here's what Paul does do: is he undermines slavery. He says, "Slaves, respect your masters like you're respecting Christ. Masters, respect your slaves like you're respecting Christ." That's the weird thing that Paul does in here. Every morality code has always said, "Children, obey your parents," but they never gave children rights. Parents, don't exasperate those children. You owe them something. They are yours only because you belong to God. And you need to take care of them such. And he does the same thing with slavery. You see, he's untying the strings that hold like a societal net that could hold slavery. And eventually that net pulls apart because he's untied the strings. And being equal under Christ is what actually undoes slavery. And it's the grounds under which the church, when it faced new world slavery, battled and won. Scripture is not endorsing, condoning slavery. Paul is untying those knots. You are adopted into the family by the costly love of Jesus. Out of reverence for him, submit to one another. That's the one side. You are also in the middle of a war. And these commands are given for your good and for the lives of those around you. Do your part. Obey. Honor. When you're surrounded by love and war, it gives power and purpose to your obedience. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you would guide us into it more and more fully, not just the commands, but a heart of love that you have given to us, a passionate honoring and cherishing of you, Jesus. Would you form us in that way, we pray. Amen.